What's up? This is PR, and you're now listening to Respect the Game, the Slam podcast on Winner's Circle Media.
Let's go, world. It's your boy, Pete Walsh, a.k.a. I'm all out of a.k.a.'s, episode 4, Slam Magazine podcast, Respect the Game, first pod of 2016. Very happy to be back. For whatever reason, they decided to renew us for another year, so that feels really good. Shout out to Winner Circle Media. As usual, I got my man Abe Schwadru with me. Abe, what's good, bro?
Yo, what up? AKA cough drops and herbal tea. Kind of under the weather right now, but we're gonna fight through it.
And I got my boy, senior editor Adam Figman. Figs, what's good?
What is up, man? Thanks for having me. It's good.
Thanks for being here, man.
Oh man,
in the new studio. Kind of trying to tinker my way around here. New studio boys, 2016 boys. How was everybody New Year, man? What'd you guys get into? Abe, did you go back to D.C. or?
Yeah, I was there for a minute. Got to go back and check out a game. Wiz Clippers. Between the couple holidays there. So, yeah, it was nice. Got to go back, see the fam and stuff. You know, nice little break there.
Nice. Figs, Long Island.
Long Island boys.
Yeah.
You know it.
You catch any hoops during the break?
Yeah, I watched a lot of hoops, a lot of NBA, Christmas Day, noon to midnight, without pause. You know, New Year's a little bit, more or less standard deal. Nothing in person, though. Nothing in person.
Impressive.
Not for a couple of weeks.
So I honestly pretty much traveled both Christmas Day and the day after, so I missed every single Christmas Day game. Actually, my Christmas fucking sucked.
No, I thought we weren't cursing anymore. You know, already is 30 seconds in.
Yeah, I had to throw it out there for my horrible Christmas. But
so sorry.
Yeah, it's all good, man. It's just another year. But, you know, how were those games? I was hearing some mixed reactions that, you know, a lot of hype the games didn't really live up to the hype. The Cavs-Warriors game was sloppy. So, you know, what'd you make of the Christmas Day games? That's a huge deal for the NBA. Obviously, that's, they're pretty much their opening night of the season for the casual fans. So hit, miss, what'd you think, Ian?
I mean, I thought Cavs Dubs was fun, at least just for, you know, the hype train and, you know, everybody, you know, pretty much everyone was locked in on sitting down in front of the television at 5 p.m. Like, I even got yelled at by my mom and my sister. They're trying to make some dinner plans, and I was like, sorry, but between the hours of 5 and 8, like prime, exactly when they want to do this, you know, sit down and have dinner, I was like, nah. Want to be parked in front of the television. So, you know, just for that aspect, just the fact that pretty much everyone who gives even the smallest of a shit about NBA basketball was watching that game and, you know, hanging out on Twitter and texting each other. Like, I thought that part was cool. I always think that's fun when you know that everyone is watching that game.
Nice. And Figs, you had a, you know, leading up to Christmas, you went ahead and stunted on the rest of the basketball universe with your Kristaps Porzingis cover and cover story. So, you know, congrats on that story, man. I was happy to see the response was good. Just want to get into that a little bit. And, you know, I know you spent a lot of time working on it, hanging out with Kristaps and his family. So just like from a career perspective, was this probably like the most, not necessarily in depth, but probably maybe the most fun you've had with the story? I know you were super into it.
I don't know about most, but it was pretty fun. I don't know if I would say, it was the most in depth, but I mean, we had a solid day with Kristaps. You know, whenever it's Knicks story, it's like, they're right here. We're in the city. So I have plenty of time to hit up games, get secondary, spent a lot of time on the phone, just talking to family members of Kristaps, teammates of his from over the years. It might've been the most, or at least close to the most in-depth mixed with most access that I've got. But it's, you know, it's just fun, man. The fact that we're able to do Kristaps, we weren't, you know, our hands weren't forced by any outer sponsors or people trying to get, you know, it was just a dude who genuinely wanted to be on the cover, a team that gave us access and was very into having him on the cover. We did a great photo shoot. Shout out Tom Medvedich. I'm probably pronouncing that incorrectly.
Good enough for me.
Up in the Knicks practice facility. Yeah, and I mean, Kristaps was great, did a solid interview, and it was interesting to kind of delve into his backstory. Most of the story was about, you know, his upbringing and how he kind of became the person that he is, which, you know, when you're a rookie, that's kind of the story that we're going to do if it's a cover story, which was cool. And yeah, it's just fun. It's fun that this Knicks actually have some positivity going.
Yeah, no, for sure. And you know, the Knicks PR can be notoriously, I guess, not fun to deal with. So, I mean, did you have a bad experience with them at all, or were they cool with the whole thing?
Nah, I didn't. I mean, I've heard the same from our point of view. We went entirely through the Knicks PR staff, and they were totally cool with us. I mean, yeah, I think, you know, this was just a chance to give a rookie. This kid wants shine. They have the All-Star game coming up, and All-Star voting push potentially coming up. I don't think that he's in line to be a starter now, but I think that was kind of a thought earlier. Like, this dude has all of Europe on his side. Maybe he's a potential All-Star starter. And yeah, so they were into it. They gave me a sit down with Kristaps. No interruption, no PR guy sitting on my shoulder talking to me during the interview. Nothing like that.
Nice.
Gave us a solid hour of photos, and it came out well.
Nice.
I think.
Yeah.
Did you guys hit the club after or
before?
Did you ride in his Benz after or not?
Before.
Oh, word.
Yeah.
How was Dan Rome during the whole experience?
Shout out to Dan Rome. Dan Rome's the man. He was just chilling. He was in the cut.
I think one of my favorite parts, not even of the story, but of the just the response, was that the fact that the Nick beat reporters were all over it.
Shout out Isola.
Yeah. Shout out, of course, the god Frank Isola. But
oh, nice.
I mean, the best is Berman of the Post asking him if he knew what he what magazine or what outlet who he was shooting for, and Kristaps basically just sunning him and be like, "Yeah, I did the photo shoot, man. Like, what do you expect?" So,
I think he had good intentions, though. He Berman called our office like later that day and was just like, "Hey, I'm doing this story.
You spoke to BOTP?"
He actually called Susan Price's direct line, our managing editor. I think for a second she was like, why is this call happening right now?" But it turned out he was just trying to do a write-up about the cover, and you know, he got a couple of quotes from Kristaps at Shoot Around about how he was, you know, he always dreamed of being on the cover of Slam, and it came true. So I think it was, you know,
yeah, and shit, I mean, it's rare for us to get that kind of, you know, free press in the New York tabloids of any kind. And obviously Isola had to throw a jab in that he's only got, you know, 15 more covers until he's on par with Marbury.
I think it's 99 more covers.
I mean, on that note though, not to this isn't all about tooting our own horn or whatever, but like,
nah, we're tooting the man.
You know, for, you know, a lot of people, like peers of ours or whatever, people like to kind of take jabs at Slam, whatever, but like, so crazy relevant still to the players. Like,
hell yeah,
every player is aware of who's on the cover and when they, you know, their potential, you know, their chance to be on the cover, and they want to be on the cover, and you know, they ask for big blow up posters of it if they get it. So
yeah, and I mean, to that point, I know we spoke preseason, then there's an unnamed player who felt he was ranked too low on our top 50, screenshotted it and basically use it as motivation. And now he's putting up, you know, borderline All-Star numbers and will likely be in the All-Star game. So,
for sure,
you know, not only are we out here providing amazing stories, we're also providing players to earn their big contracts. So
I got to start it with not to flex too much, but then a lot of flexing ensued.
Nah, sometimes you just got to stunt, man.
We got to flex.
New year, new stunt, man.
Yeah.
But anyway, Abe, you mentioned earlier you went down to, when you were DC, you caught Clips Wiz. Mm-hmm. You know, I want to ask you a little bit about your boy John Wall. I know he's been favorite player of yours. You did more than a few, at least one cover story, definitely more than one feature on him. So you guys have a little bit of a relationship. You know, he won Player of the Month for December, but the Wizards just, you know, they don't look that impressive. You know, they're floundering right now. I mean, they came with a lot of high. Obviously, they're
so
banged
many
up.
Injuries,
yeah, of course. But,
you know, they're getting the Nay back tonight.
So what's your take on Wall? Like, you know, do you think he's living up to the preseason hype? I mean, he's kind of all over this All-Star thing. Do you think he's got his head in the right place? You know, he's kind of posturing and jacking for more All-Star votes and saying that the thing with Kyrie I don't know. Should that even be relevant to him? Should he even care about something like that?
I mean, I actually do think his on the court, at least, I do think his head is in the right place. Like, you watch these games and he's playing his ass off. It's not like, you know, the effort is always there. Certain guys, even superstar guys, will, you know, give a half-ass effort every once in a while if you're playing like the Sixers or whatever. Like, John goes hard every single game, dives on the floor, pumping up his teammates. I mean, poor guy. Like, the crowds at Verizon are just so
trash.
Dead. Like,
yeah,
those are my people, but goddamn, it's so dead in there. Like, it's hard. It's probably hard to stay motivated. And not only that, but this guy creates so many open shots for guys that are just
missed. Like,
yeah, or like just got called up from the D League, like, or they're Garrett Temple in no shots, but like he's not a he had a stretch there of Temple had a stretch there of like
is Gary Neal on that team?
Yeah, Gary Neal, who's all been banged up.
Oh man.
So it's just like
Otto's playing well.
Kelly Oubre is playing well.
Whoa. And that's the thing, like Oubre wasn't even supposed to play at all. Yeah. So for him to be, you know, at least, you know, even contributing at all is nice to see. But yeah, the problem is the same thing it's always been. No shooting and they're banged up. Like I'd be interested to see what happens, you know, where they end up at the end of the season and what happens in the offseason as far as the coach.
Does he make the All-Star team?
Wall?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Player vote or coach selection?
He'll be there. He'll be there.
He'll be there. All right, good enough. But then he's got his whole situation with his sneaker deal. He's now wearing Adidas.
How is he going to play well if his sneaker situation is in flux? How?
I mean, shout to us for putting him on the cover holding his signature shoes.
We don't have to spend too much time on that, but I do think it is a little bit. I mean, it's first of all, I had to, before, you know, our friend Nick DiPaola wrote up that, you know, very detailed piece for nicekicks.com, which if you haven't read, go check it out. Pretty much details everything about what's going on with John Wall and his sneaker situation, basically. I spoke to Nick about it. I didn't realize that he was going to go write that huge piece and kind of put it all out there in public. But
are you quoted?
No.
Sources?
I'm just saying we had a conversation. We were on a trip together.
He was trying to show that he knew the story first.
No, but I'm surprised that he put it all out there. That's all I'm saying. And but why? I guess people yeah, would have.
I would put it out there if I.
I'm so surprised that this reporter reported.
Okay, whatever.
It's like a foreign concept to eat. He's like, wait, how does he keep the free sneakers if he's reporting?
Anyways, I do think it is like a little, you know, this happens all the time where like guys are a free agent in the middle of the season and might, you know, start wearing a different brand. It's pretty fucking strange that he has his own signature sneaker and he's basically like wearing another player's signature sneaker.
Totally messing up his money by doing this too.
Yeah, but I mean, I think that part was kind of already gone like a few months ago. You know, choosing to wear whatever sneakers now doesn't really affect that previous decision.
No, but he's right. That is what happened.
That is what happened. I'm just saying that his current choice of sneaker isn't choosing that. That like already is gone. That money is already gone last summer.
Yeah. But he ultimately made financial.
Just to back up for people that don't know what we're talking about, basically, basically, without going into too many details, you know, Harden gets that huge, huge contract from Adidas. Wall's like, whoa, what's going on? Like, can I make a little bit more money?
In the middle of negotiating his Adidas deal,
exactly. So and then Adidas kind of scoffed at the idea that he would make anywhere near Harden's money, and then basically. Actually, Adidas made a very generous offer in the end.
Yeah, they upped it like two times.
They made like a really generous offer in the end, and Wall and John, you know, decided for whatever reason that he, you know, didn't want that. So
he got terrible advice from somebody because he has no chance of becoming like a signature athlete elsewhere other than Adidas, right?
Yeah, and I think at a certain point, you know, I love the guy, but like at a certain point, if you look around and you've been with, you know. I realize Adidas and Reebok are the same thing essentially now, but like if you've been with three brands already in your career, like people are going to kind of stop for you.
Hell yeah. Anyway, enough about this because there's only a small population who cares about this sneaker thing. Moving on to another Adidas athlete, I want to talk a little bit about Jimmy Butler, who's been balling the hell out as of late, scored 40 and a half. Proceeded to follow that up with, I think, like 32 points the next night. So,
killing it.
And this is shortly after, you know, he was getting on Coach Hoiberg's case about having to be more aggressive and, you know, reports out of Chicago that trade might happen. And all of a sudden, the Bulls are 21-12, you know, playing like the team people expected them to play like, you know, our boy Bobby Portis is getting a lot of burn.
Hell yeah. Shout out Bobby Portis.
About time.
And he should only be referred to as Bobby Portis.
He introduces himself as Bobby Portis every time.
He calls himself Bobby Portis. I'm going to call him Bobby Portis. So, you know, it's still probably a little too early. We're what, 35 games into the season? you know, they've already had like such a tumultuous year. And, you know, Derrick Rose is, he's healthy, he's not healthy, he's in and out of lineup, but it's almost like the Bulls have moved past him. So, you know, it's pretty clear we're seeing this become Jimmy Butler's team.
For sure.
Yeah. So, you know, if they're going to be the toast of the East, this is a team that's never been able to get past LeBron in any capacity with Derrick Rose at the helm. Could, you know, Jimmy Butler be the guy to get them over the hump and take down the Cavs when it matters most?
I mean, you look at what he's been doing lately, at least offensive. Like, you know, a year and a half ago or whatever, Jimmy Butler was quote unquote like the defensive stopper. I mean, yeah, he was like a complimentary offensive player, but at least in my mind, the perception was like he's a wing stopper, great defender. He's averaging 31 points over his last four games.
Yeah, he's going nuts, man.
It's insane.
And he's making these insane plays that only a handful of guys in the league can make.
The crazy thing is, you know, you see other guys around the league like Steph and Clay and whoever else like going off for these big point totals. They're shooting a lot of threes. Like Butler takes the ball to the hoop almost every time or shoots mid-range. Like
he finishes.
Yeah, like it's actually kind of astonishing to watch like him, like when he scored the 40 and a half, so much of it is taking it to the rack. Like it's just like a style that is very unique. You know, everyone's like, oh, like the game's changing. Oh, it's outside shooting. And here's Jimmy Butler averaging 31 points over his last four. And
dude, I love the fact that
takes it to the rack.
He's just such like a badass. Like he doesn't give a damn what anybody thinks about him. He's like kind of in that Russell Westbrook mold. And you know, it's pretty rare for players these days who, you know, are so worried about their image and, you know, making money through endorsements and their doing PR stunts. So I think it's refreshing just to see a guy, you know, go after their coach go after his teammates for not trying hard. Like, I mean, he's a total throwback player, and I think it's been really fun to watch. I hope he keeps it up. And
I mean, on the flip side though, there's probably definitely like a, you know, that report came out that like he was rubbing people the wrong way in the locker room.
Probably is.
It's just like a strange dynamic on that team because
that either
so many
backfires
guys
horribly or it works out
yeah,
well.
Yeah,
like there's
exactly.
All those, so, but dude, he's got to play the way he's
pretty
playing.
Obvious. Exactly. If you're scoring 40 points and a half, no one's going to care. Right. But as
look
soon
what
as
he followed it up with,
yeah, as soon as things go off the rails, and you know everybody's going to be looking at right. Jimmy. Yeah. But that team, you know, they're in a kind of a weird space. Pau Gasol is playing his ass off. Taj Gibson's been playing well in place of Noah, but they're like kind of in flux. Like, all right, are we going to blow this whole thing up and start moving these vets and sticking with guys like Bobby Portis and McDermott and Tony Snell, or are we just going to try and ride it out for as long as these guys can? Like, do you see a trade happening, either Noah or maybe even Derrick Rose get flipped somewhere?
I don't think so.
I mean, I think they'd probably move Noah if they could.
Yeah, maybe. But
is there a market for him?
The thing with the Bulls is their record, even when we were like, oh, this team's kind of in a weird place, their record was always pretty good, or just as like they were second in the East and everyone was like, what is going on with them? So now they're second in the East, I think, with a little bit more space there.
Yeah. But I mean, it's crazy. I'm looking at
I don't know why they would blow it up, you know?
Yeah. I'm looking at the standings now and, you know, 2 through 8 are separated by 3 games.
Yeah.
So, you know,
the East is weird.
It's, I mean, it's awesome, but you know, it's clearly going to come down to Cleveland and either Miami or Chicago, if you're looking at it right now from,
I think if they're winning games, then you want Noah there just for his leadership and like what he brings them, even if he's just sitting on the bench yelling at guys.
Oh, you know, I agree.
If they move him, it's because they realize their like talent is not there and they want another piece.
Yeah. I don't know. Interesting thing to keep an eye on. You know, let's see. Shifting to the West. Sorry, that was a horrible transition there.
Nah, good segue.
Thank you, man. I usually try and close things with
speaking
like
speaking of NBA teams.
Yeah, speaking of basketball,
here's a different one.
Just insert some kind of music in there between like
SoundCloud copyright laws don't. Oh. We need like this swish sound before each.
Just a little buzzer.
Topic.
Yeah.
Hey, man, listen, we ain't getting paid for this, so we're doing the best we goddamn can. All right. So anyway. Anyway, looking west, since the last time we spoke, the Warriors have lost one game, so which is pretty insane, even saying that out loud. They are currently 33-2, far and away the best team in the league. Steph Curry's a little banged up, but in his place, Draymond Green has, you know, crept up to maybe top five player in the league consideration. He dropped three straight triple doubles. Abe's making a stink face at me. Like, I mean, he disagrees.
The thing is, I mean, top five to me is insane, but I was so wrong.
First team all NBA consideration.
So wrong about Draymond Green.
Same.
Like, okay, you guys both really
and
were.
So same, many people, yeah. But so many people were though.
We're not alone.
Not to be that guy, but like I heard both you guys say that shit and it upset me over the summer.
All right, yeah.
And now I'm feeling a little vindicated. Look, man, we talked about this in the office. I was like, wow, I'm feeling like low-key vindicated about Draymond Green.
You know what, man? Now I'm trying to be like a humble guy. I'm like, yeah, you know, I was wrong about Draymond.
No, I'm wrong about shit all the time.
Suck my ass, Fitz. How does that sound?
Adam was
not
depressed
a good rebuttal.
All summer.
That's not a good rebuttal.
Adam was depressed all summer because we made him feel bad by saying that Draymond wasn't nice like that.
I don't even remember having this conversation. I mean, I've always rocked with Draymond. I mean, coming out of college, like, he had such an amazing college career. It was, like, first team all Big Ten, you know, leads Michigan State in, like, three different categories, which is crazy considering the players that have come through there. So, you know, the skill was always there, and he totally just fell into the right situation, and he plays with such a chip on his shoulder. But come on, Figs, not even you can see
this. No, what I was going to say was what's crazy to me is when I what upset me over the summer was – people talking about him and you guys may or may not have been included, but people in general, even if without us, like on Twitter, you know, everywhere, basically saying that he's not that good because like his jump shot's not there. His offensive game's kind of weak. If you compare him to like, I don't know, you know, most teams don't really have a guy like that, but even if you, you know, put him next to other fours around the league, the offensive game was way worse than all those guys. But I was championing him because he was the best defender on the team that was by far the best team in the NBA last year. So I thought he should be, you know, arguably top 20 player in the league just off of that. If you're the best defender on the best team, that says a lot for a solid defense. And then I didn't see this shit coming, though. He's dropping triple doubles.
Three in a row, dude, right?
10-plus assists, four games in a row.
He
like,
leads the
that?
Warriors in assists. What the fuck?
I would have never
Well, how
that.
Come you're looking at me like I'm crazy to think he might be a top five player?
I mean, I just think there's a lot of good players in the league. And having a nice stretch for the beginning half of the season doesn't launch you over.
He does
for me
everything.
For me it doesn't launch you over Russell Westbrook, you know, Durant, LeBron, Curry, and other guys at the top of the league. Like,
might be
all right. That's four guys.
All right, what? You want me to complete the list? Like,
no, I don't. But I mean, you can't argue with 33-2. You can't argue with leading the league.
I mean, regardless
doubles.
On talent, he's probably first team All NBA.
True.
At the moment.
For sure.
So.
Definitely. You know. And probably, third in the MVP race? Steph, shit. Kawhi Leonard, Draymond?
You had a LeBron?
Dude, we've just been fawning over the guy for the last 3 minutes. Like,
I'm not.
I don't know about it. I'll put him fourth, though.
Hell, so behind LeBron,
five,
basically.
Yeah, but I mean, I'd probably put LeBron second behind Steph.
Nah, man. Have you seen
that's
what Kawhi's been doing?
LeBron versus Kawhi. That's close. I don't know that.
Kawhi's low-key balling.
Yeah, I mean, clearly, but so is LeBron.
You've been watching the Spurs, Pete?
Yeah, I actually
New
have
New Year's
been.
Resolution?
Yeah, nah, my New Year's resolution is not to watch more Spurs, fortunately.
No, but last time you said
no, I have made a point,
into your life.
It's crazy, like, they just crack teams by, like, 25 at halftime. Yeah. It's like,
that's
all
not
right.
That fun to watch.
No, exactly, but at the same time, it's amazing that, you know, they're rolling out Manu Ginobili and Tony Parker and Duncan and you know, Boris Gia and all these guys, like,
and
like,
that
how
really
the hell?
Freakishly tall dude.
Oh, come on, man.
Who?
What?
Boron?
Boron,
yeah.
Bro.
Yo, that's my dude right there, man.
I didn't say I didn't freakish. Fuck with him. I picked him up in fantasy.
He's actually mad good, though,
no,
is the thing.
Play.
Like, he's
agreed.
Like, he's.
He's not freakishly tall. That's all I said.
No,
he's freakishly tall.
He is definitely tall.
I call him a freak.
Hell.
He's freakishly
tall.
But he, what's it? Boran Maranovic, right? Maranovic.
That's pretty good if you got it like that quick.
Man, honestly, watching him just makes me mad that Sottenham can't get any burn, bro.
Fact. Well,
if we're being honest, Sottenham can't get any burn on his current
Texas
league team.
The Texas
the legends.
Legends,
yeah. Yeah, so.
All right. Well, maybe he needs to stop Snapchatting so much and do some drills.
I wholeheartedly disagree with that.
If he's not Snapchatting, he's almost useless.
Everyone's on DJ Khaled right now. If you're not following Satnam Singh, you're really doing something wrong.
Dude, the Khaled wave is fading quickly. Satnam Singh is next up in the Snapchat world.
Hell yeah.
But no, I have been watching more of the Spurs. And the dope thing about Maranovic is, like, he is, all he does is he's been coached up enough to know that all he has to do is just stand near the basket with his hands up and he just catches it and just like stands and dunks it in. And like, he could legitimately be like their best player in 5 years if, you know, Kawhi Leonard isn't there. But all right, that may have been the most insane thing I've said.
I was about to say time, like that. Yeah. All right,
if you guys are going to check me for anything, it's yeah, most definitely Jesus. Been that.
I was waiting for you to finish the sentence.
I got your back no matter what.
Yeah, I'm actually riding that one out. I'm getting on that early.
Mark the tape.
Yeah, mark the tape. Speaking of another team with some old ass players, the Dallas Mavericks, somehow playing well. I placed a bet on the under, the first time I've ever bet on anything in my entire life.
Attaboy.
Their over under was 37, I think, this year. I bet the under, and they are going to crush that and probably make the playoffs. You know, and quite simply, I just got to tip my hat to Dirk, man. As you know, other guys his age are starting to fade and, you know, hang it up. He goes out and plays in triple overtime games and is still dropping 30.
Darren Williams comeback.
Raymond Felton comeback.
Oh, Dirk averaging still 17 points and 7 rebounds a game. That's crazy.
It's insane, dude.
And he's fucking hilarious too. Like he's totally embraced all the embarrassing moments. Like, he's just with it. He's the best.
He's the same age as Kobe, right?
He's 37.
Yeah. That's insane, crazy, dude. That is insane. Like,
especially a body that big. Like, you know, big guys usually break down faster.
I wonder how I don't want to jump to conclusions here, but he's got that German blood spinning.
Exactly. Allegedly.
Exactly. He's headed to Germany every summer. So, but, you know, just want to tip my cap to the Mavs and give them props.
Hey, speaking of that game, did you guys happen to see the thing with Rondo and D-Will?
Trying to trip him?
Yeah, what did you think about that?
That's horseshit, man.
Rondo just off the shits or what?
Oh, clearly, man. He has totally lost it. I love it, though. for people that don't or didn't see, as it was on Williams' game-winning shot, no? Game-tying shot?
Nah.
Anyway, it was in a big shot.
It was in the corner, yeah.
And he's taking a corner three. Rondo didn't even play in the game. He sat. He was out with a back injury. And as D-Will catches the ball, Rondo from the bench sticks out his foot and tries to trip him.
Does he really try to trip him, though?
I don't know. It was weird. It's like, you know, that happens all the time.
Because if
guys
you make
catch
contact
the ball in
there,
the corner,
then you're probably going to get a tee, a foul.
Suspended.
Right. A lot of shit's going to happen.
Yeah.
So guys catch the ball in the corner all the time.
Is that just a lazy version of waving your arms
exactly.
in the corner?
That's what I was saying. Like, people, you know, screaming in someone's ear when they're shooting a three in the corner.
Yeah, but what if he shoots and lands on Rondo's foot and rolls his ankle and, like, Darren Williams... That could be like a career-ending injury for Darren Williams at this point. Yeah.
A lot of ankle injuries.
I mean, yeah.
All right. I will say that I'm loving Rondo just, not using homophobic slurs, but totally embracing his, like, the villain role. I think I'd love when guys do that. And he's playing his ass off as well. Like, he's so fun to watch again. And we had him at 50 on our top 50, and I remember hitting one of you guys right away and be like, this is bullshit. Like, why is Rajon Rondo in the top 50?
That's actually pretty, almost like exactly where he's at, I would guess. Right?
Maybe higher. Like,
I don't know.
He's got multiple.
He still does the thing where he like takes a game off entirely.
Oh yeah, for sure.
So, but I think
about 70% of that roster takes games off regularly.
The shit where he got suspended for yelling at Bill Kennedy. That shit was doubly annoying because, you know, now it kind of made it, it's like this was such a fun, evil storyline. And now it's like, oh, wow, you actually did a shithead thing and like, didn't really apologize for it. Now it's not as fun to be like, nice, the return of Rondo.
Yeah, and he really didn't apologize for that
at all.
Which was even crazier that, I mean, I don't know, that whole situation, I don't really want to get too into that, but not a good look for him.
Yeah.
But, you know, speaking of the Kings, we got Boogie Cousins playing crazy. He's on the cover, our split cover. Quick thoughts on Boogie. You know, is he, one, ever going to get out of Sacramento? And two, I mean, this may not even be a debate, but is he far and away the best center in the league at this point? Is there anybody who can touch him right now?
Probably. I mean, what, Anthony Davis is a four?
Besides Baranovich?
Yeah, besides him. Besides Sotnum when he gets the NBA.
Just on the strength.
What's Anthony Davis, a four? Or, I mean, at the moment, Boogie Cousins is better, no doubt. But
we'll consider. I don't care. Like, yeah, I'm liberal with the 4-5 discussion.
Yeah. Boogie's probably the best big man in the league right now. I mean, he's balling out. I don't think he goes anywhere. If you're the Kings, you just got to ride this out and make it work, even if it means changing coaches or changing GM ownership, everything this summer, whenever. Like, the organization's such a mess, but there can't be anyone within the organization besides, I think, George Collar for like a week there over the summer who's like, yo, let's get Boogie out of here and really blow this shit up, because they're just, this kid has too much talent.
Who are you, like, that's exactly it. Who are you going to get better than him? And either right now in the NBA, no team would move.
Hell no.
And no, there's no one coming up that, you know, was on the radar that.
I mean, unless you, if Boogie was having a bad year, or at least even a decent year, and you were like, let's try to trade for that, that Celtics pick, that's the Nets.
Yeah.
The Nets,
and he hasn't really been mopey, you know. No. Like last year he was always, you know, bitching after games and, you know, whining to the media.
He was joking with the crowd the other night with that girl.
I mean, let's see there.
He dapped up George Karl after George Karl got a T.
I love that. So they're only two games out of the A spot in the West now. And the teams ahead of them are Portland and Utah. You know, until Utah gets healthy, you can't really take them seriously. And I think Portland, as much as I do really enjoy watching them, and shout out CJ. I mean, they're going to drop eventually. They just can't maintain it. Shout out Alan Crabb, though, putting on, having a nice
dude. It's not the shout out section of the podcast.
Yeah, chill. Yeah,
who's running the goddamn show here?
Chill.
All right. Well, you made me totally lose my chain of thought.
Well,
there.
Speaking of shout outs, I'll do one early and we can flip to something else. I was going to give a shout out to Ish Smith.
Yo, that was my next thing, man. God. Hell yeah.
We're on the same page, then, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, he is a god. And.
Really, Sixers are decent now.
I mean, because of him.
Yeah.
I mean, he's playing Mike D'Antoni. D'Antoni's on that bench, correct?
Yeah.
All right. People keep saying this, but I'm yet to actually see physical proof of this.
I feel like his like ghost is like clouding over the Sixers, but he's not. I don't know if he's like,
at the same time he's getting mentioned, and
he's certainly not standing up and like yelling at players during the game.
All right, cool. Then I'm not bugging out, thinking that he might not be there like that. Cause I haven't seen visual proof.
No visual proof that the Sixers have played basketball this year. Like, they don't televise or take photos of those games.
No, they just live on Twitter basically.
Indoor hoop style, around the city, just renting out gyms.
They actually play at the Palestra in Philly.
Admittance is first come, first serve for like 25 people.
But dude, like, I don't know. That's such a feel good story for him. I don't even know. But I'm just happy he's in it.
Because
he was playing well with the Pelicans in lieu of
that's
Drew Holiday. He was leading the league in assists early on, and I remember last year when the Sixers got rid of him initially, Nerlens Noel was pissed because he was his favorite point guard, and now he's back. Nerlens Noel has been playing really well with him back in tow.
Of course, the Wizards cut Ish Smith like right before the season this year.
Mad teams would cut him, though.
He would have been so helpful, though, with all their injuries and stuff. God damn.
The thing with Ish Smith, at least in my mind, and this is not a knock on Ish Smith at all, shouts to him for balling out, but was the Sixers just a situation where like nobody was controlling the ball? They're, you know, basically whoever went into this.
Are you doubting TJ McConnell's status in the league?
A little bit. It felt like whatever veteran, or not even veteran, but like decent NBA caliber player went in there and they just gave him the ball 100% was going to do good things. I mean, good on Ish Smith for not just getting numbers, but also helping them win games. But there was a really good opportunity there for someone to just take the reins. And Ish Smith didn't only do that. He actually produced a few wins, which
basically
is cool.
I mean, I'm not disagreeing, but so basically everyone else who was there is complete garbage.
Yeah.
So like,
no, as far as like having this talent to win basketball games, Jahlil Okafor and Nerlens Noel, those guys just don't have that skill yet.
I mean, nor can they. They don't control the ball enough I agree.
And they're, you know, basically rookies.
And I mean, what does it say about Tony Roden if, you know, he's
Roden gone? And Isaiah Kanaan and all those guys.
Well, Roden, I don't know. Roden's
Kendall
gone.
Marshall.
Kendall
Shouts
Marshall,
to Kendall
man.
Marshall's dad.
Well, clearly Twitter runs in the Marshall family, as his father just came out and, you know, basically said Nick Stauskas sucks.
Yeah.
I guess it'd be the best way to describe it.
He's not lying, by the way. Not saying anything any of us would say.
Nick Stauskas sucks.
Abe's doppelganger.
And then I think he, I don't remember the, I don't want to misquote him. I don't want to say anything wrong. But I know that he, there was a lot of people around the internet took it as him saying racist things, or I guess insinuating that the Sixers were racist. For playing Stauskas a lot and playing Kendall Marshall not so much.
Should I do the Googles and get
No, we don't have to do any Googles. Right. But we do know, as Abe is Googling over here, that Kendall Marshall's dad hit the Slam Online comment section.
Oh.
And
pretty publicly
said, he clarified himself a little bit.
This is breaking news then.
It's not breaking news.
It's breaking news.
The website. It's just on ours. Can you read a comment?
I mean, I'll just tell you what he said first, which...
And then we have
the quote is, I mean, he was just, you know, going off on Twitter. I don't even think he deleted the tweets.
No,
regardless.
He deleted the account, I think.
Yeah,
he said, quote, "I always said there was racism in sports," right. Unquote. Next quote, "White guys in basketball are getting every chance to succeed even when they aren't doing shit," I assume is the expletive there.
So we ran that story. And said that Kendall Marshall's dad said that. Or we picked the I think Philly.com or the Philly Inquirer or both picked up that story.
No, Twitter.
Twitter
picked up the story.
We picked that up from them and basically, you know, put it on our websites, quoting the Philly Inquirer or one of the newspapers. Then Kendall Marshall's dad hits the Slam Online comment section, and I'll let you take it.
"I am Kendall's dad, and this article is false. In no way did I say the Sixers were racist. Read my tweet. Slam wrote this article based on a tweet." First of all, that's true. We do that all the time.
Who doesn't do that?
Then another comment.
It's like 90% of journalism these days.
Then another comment from Dennis Marshall. "I said there was racism in sports. I think we all agree that is true. I all sports, not just basketball. I never said the Sixers were racist. Look at the title of the article and then look at my tweet." And then later, like, you know, several minutes later, after people are jumping on that, he adds, "And Kendall is half white, so I can't say it's because he's black. LOL, all caps."
Which, shouts to him for like having a good spirit there at the end.
Yeah.
And then after the fact, we get an email to the Slam General, like customer service or I don't know how to describe the email address that it was sent to from Kendall Marshall's dad. Saying we're going to be hearing from his attorneys.
No.
Yeah. So shout out to him. I don't think, you know.
No way.
I don't think much will come of that. But
I mean, we appreciate the clicks and the comments.
Well.
And the email.
Ben Osborne hit me this week and said he wants to start booking some guests. So I think the first.
Dennis Marshall.
I think we'll have Dennis Marshall and Chucky Okafor at a roundtable discussion through. To get this all sorted
In
out.
In all seriousness, though, the thing about the Sixers signing Elton Brand, I mean, I don't know what you guys. Your thoughts are on that, and you know, I guess I'm happy for Elton Brand for fulfilling whatever this is fulfilling for him, but
a couple million dollars.
Yeah, exactly.
Something, you know, to do. Was,
yeah, you know, no, very eloquent piece that he wrote announcing whatever it is that he's doing, but like, I'm sorry if I just fail to see how signing Elton Brand will do literally anything for.
I think it's like, great.
They're trying to change the culture.
Yeah,
think
man.
It's crazy?
This is
Tell
a,
me why.
This
Tell
is
why.
A mentor for Jahlil Okafor. That's it. It doesn't have to be any deeper than that.
No.
For Elton Brand, it's a check. It's something to do. Well. He gets to be in the NBA. Being in the NBA is fun as shit.
Hell yeah.
I want to be in the NBA.
Hell yeah.
So good for Elton Brand for squeezing another 2 years out of a career that's probably been, what, 15 Maybe. Or so years?
And was over even in the twilight of his
okay,
career.
Can I just, yeah, so, I just, you know, let me just play devil's advocate.
But wait, first, here. But you have to, you have a job if you're an NBA player where you get 15 years of like, if you're lucky, you get 15 years of being able to do this. So
I mean, he's totally earned, this role.
More, few more years out of it. You know, most people do their careers their whole life. Go ahead.
Okay. I'm not disagreeing with sad boys. It's a good premise. All right, to bring in a veteran to like be around these guys. But I mean, I have mad respect for Elton Brand. Jahlil Okafor was 4 when Elton Brand was drafted. He, like, was probably
both went to Duke.
Okay,
Duke connection.
He was there for 1 year, bro.
Do you
think
just
he's like? You think he's like? Oh man, I just like. I don't know. I just. In my mind, I feel like it's possible that Jahlil Okafor doesn't give a fuck about Elton Brand.
That's possible, but you got to try.
Sure.
I don't think they should be done bringing
in
older guys
either.
But I just
don't think either. That, like, signing Elton Brand...
Wait, that's, like, a kind of a crazy thing to say, that...
Why?
He just... This guy played 15 years in the L and was an all-star and a number one pick and was...
If Jahlil Okafor doesn't respect the Sixers in the first place enough to not act like a wild person...
Because they weren't trying.
Why is he gonna care now when they brought in a babysitter for him that he... Probably didn't even watch play in
you're
the NBA
like
until
this
he
never,
was washed
you're
as fuck.
Like this never happened. So
yeah,
like,
every
team
young guy has
vets.
A quote unquote.
That's
vet.
Fine, but they don't bring him in the middle of the season, basically announcing that
well,
you need a babysitter.
No,
because
they're
you're
announcing
a piece of
that
shit.
They fucked
well,
up.
Well, he's clearly not mature enough to realize that he hasn't handled himself in a way that he doesn't need
just,
a babysitter.
Just
so, if you're gonna act in like a madman like that, then you clearly need to be reined in. You clearly
okay,
need
but,
somebody have you, and a coach isn't gonna do that. And
sure.
You can't trust, I don't know, someone in his circle to do that. You gotta bring somebody.
Okay. So speaking of his circle, right? You think when his boys saw that the Sixers were signing Elton Brand, they texted him like, "Hey, man, that's gonna be a really valuable like mentor for you." Nah, they're probably like, "Yo, fam, they just hired a babysitter for you."
I think they would have said the first one.
No way.
Because they're
out wilding in the streets of Boston punching people out.
But no. I mean, if they're clear, I don't know, Abe, I think you're acting like this guy is like a complete moron.
They're
like,
changing the culture.
Okafor, yeah.
I don't think he's a moron. I just think the automatic assumption that he's like going to bow down to Elton Brand just because he was a
it's not about
slightly above
dude,
average player in the NBA.
It's not about bowing down.
It's about listening to this dude when he's like, "Yo, when you go out, here's sort of some advice."
It's about him saying, "I played on the Clippers and we sucked for years and it got better. Like I eventually got a big deal. You know, I played in Philly when I was playing in Philly, made the playoffs and
yeah.
I got a big contract and the fans loved us. And, you know, we were the talk of the town and, you know, there's brighter days ahead. You know, you're a talented kid. If you keep acting up, it's, you know, do you want to last 15 years in the league or do you want to last three?" It's not crazy. And I mean, the way you're saying
it's
is like,
crazy.
All right, Elton Brand's coming to hold his dick while he pisses in the fucking bathroom. Like, that's not what's going on.
I think when you're 20 and in the middle of a season, they bring in a guy to pretty much very publicly, like, take care of you.
Okay. Well, what makes you think they didn't go to Jahlil Okafor and say, "Hey, we're going
to
bring this dude in. You cool with that?"
You think
and
Jerry Colangelo
was
like,
"Fuck yeah, I'm cool with that." He probably had the chance to be like, "I don't know who the fuck Elton Brand is, and
exactly.
I don't want to deal with him at all." All
right, well, if he did that, then mad respect.
You don't think Jerry Colangelo brought Okafor and maybe even Coach K and was just like, "Listen, son, like, you got to get together. This guy's going to help you out.
If that happened,
then
great.
This is your last chance."
You don't know if that happened or didn't happen. That's my point.
I think it happened.
I'm going to speculate that I'm right.
that's a pretty big leap of a thing to happen.
How is that big leap?
You're just assuming that a meeting happened between three or four people that
what they don't
I don't
they
think
don't
NBA have, players and coaches and organizations communicate.
They don't have time to meet during the day.
I mean, the three of us are friends, and sometimes we could go 2 months without all being in the same.
Yeah, but
place.
We G-chat all day.
Yeah,
so you think he had a Jerry Colangelo G-chat?
Yes,
maybe.
I think he Snapchatted him.
He FaceTimed him.
He Snapchat him with like a photo of Elton Brand. What do you think of this dude? He responded with a thumbs up emoji.
Showed him a photo in a Duke jersey and said, "What do you think of this man?" And then showed him his bank account numbers and then said, "How about this?"
Seriously, do you think Elton Brand will play
no
any basketball?
God
no.
I hope not for his own safety.
They still need uniform on the Ish Smith one has been great, and I think they could use another one, maybe two guys to just help them like win a little. I just think that these young kids need to learn or be around some victory
in
the
NBA. Sure.
And that's why I think this Ish Smith thing has been awesome. And, you know, even if they don't need to even smell the playoffs, but the idea of them winning a little bit just to see what it's like and understand what it takes to close an NBA game is a good thing. And they need a little bit more of that.
I'm kind of on the, like, I've recently been kind of on the fence. I guess not necessarily tanking as a whole, but, you know, trying to purposely, I guess, I don't want to say tank, but not make the playoffs. And the best example I could think of is a few years ago when the Knicks and the Hawks were battling for that eighth seed, and the Knicks lost out, and the fans were like, "Oh, like whatever, like it's not a big deal." Wait, did they? I don't even know if they had a pick that year. Did they?
I have no idea.
But whatever. What? It's not even about the Knicks, but the Hawks made that eighth seed. They got bumped in the first round. Yes, the next season. they were first in the East and went to the Eastern Conference Finals. So I just think, you know, playoff, you can't put a price on, or you can't put like a value on how important it is to make the playoffs, especially if your younger team has never been there before.
Yeah. I mean, and there's no one way to do it. The Warriors were tanking not that long ago.
True.
And look.
And I think, I don't know, I just kind of bring up the Knicks because I think it'll be, if they sneak into the playoffs this year, I think that's going to be really good for Porzingis. And
exactly. Yeah. Like, you know, I mean, it's all situation based. I mean, the Knicks don't have a pick this year, so if they're not going to trade for one, then they might as well get in the playoffs. But
sure.
On the flip side, maybe it was better for the Sixers to tank a little. They probably took it too far, but maybe not.
For sure. One thing, you know, Abe on Christmas Day texted us in our group chat, stay at home boys, that as soon as I missed it, but that Mark Jackson was saying some crazy stuff on his broadcast of the Cavs Warriors game. Mm-hmm. And that he wanted to get into it. So I know it's a bit old, but it's what we're gonna do, man, and I don't really care. So I actually have the sound here, so we'll just play that real quick.
I thought about this though. Steph Curry's great. Steph Curry's the MVP. He's a champion. Understand what I'm saying when I say this. To a degree, he's hurt the game. And what I mean by that is I go into these high school gyms, I watch these kids, and the first thing they do is run to the three-point line. You are not Steph Curry. Work on the other aspects of your game. People think that he's just a knockdown shooter. That's not why he's the MVP. He's a complete basketball player.
Go ahead, Abe. Your thoughts. Your take.
I just had two quick things, and you guys can, you know, tell me I'm stupid or whatever. The first thing is, so he said that, and obviously, you know, this thing happens like on Twitter and the internet where like people think that everyone is going to have a certain reaction to something, and immediately it'll be like, well, people are going to misinterpret that, but I kind of agree with what he's saying. But I don't think anyone really misinterpreted that. Like, I think we all knew what he was trying to say. And even if it came out in a strange manner and from a strange messenger, we all know what he was trying to, like, people were like, oh, that's going to get misinterpreted, but he's actually right. But I actually think that he's wrong. Like, even understanding exactly what he meant. So I mean, what did you guys think of it?
What?
My brain is killing me right now.
I'm about to end the show for good, man.
No. Well, listen.
Save this segment for especially
for you. My brain is pounding.
You ever seen Scanners when the guy's head explodes?
Hey, I'm on so many medications right now.
All right, so what you're trying to say...
The Britney Spears dolls and Austin Powers, where their brains explode?
Mark Jackson is off the shits.
So basically, Mark Jackson was trying to say that, you know, it's kind of changing the way that younger players play the game and potentially, in a negative
damaging manner,
sort of not paying attention to fundamentals, essentially. And
you think he's wrong?
I just think that like these things happen in the NBA and it trickles down to high schools and AAU and whatever, but still like if you're a good player and you care about getting better, you'll do the things that work on a basketball court. And if you're a shitty player who doesn't care about getting better, you'll just launch threes and you'll still suck. Like I don't think that it's,
well, I think there's an implicit assumption here that like kids are stupid, which maybe they are a little bit,
right?
But
that's what I'm
saying. They don't understand that you have to work hard to be a good basketball player. And there's no marketing. 98% of marketing these days is like work super hard. You know, you look at Under Armour's commercials,
that's the entire
Nike
campaign.
It's everything is like work your ass off. So I don't think that there's really, I think kids get that.
What I'm saying is I think a lot of people were sort of agreeing with Mark Jackson's take that yes, it is kind of changing like the high school game, the AAU game. But I just think does it change the way that idiots play at LA Fitness or at the park? Yeah, probably. But I don't think it changes the way like college players are.
He said like, kids run into the gym, they shoot threes, right? Because of Steph.
Right.
So 10 years ago, kids ran into a gym and tried to dunk from the three-point line because of Kobe.
I mean, when I was in seventh grade, I thought I was doing everything Jason Williams was doing. I was throwing so many behind-the-back passes out of bounds like during middle school basketball games.
I think the bigger point here is who gives a shit?
Exactly.
Hell yeah.
That's kind of my point.
Like, if none of this shit... Basketball is fun. That's the thing that I think when you're like, yo, we gotta you know, this is ruining the game. Work on your free throws, work on your fundamentals, work on whatever. Like,
dude,
for 99.99999% of humans, basketball exists solely because it's fun as shit. So if it's fun as shit to shoot a 40-footer, do that. If it's fun to dunk, dunk.
Less than 1% of people are good enough that it will even matter where they shoot from on the court. Like,
yeah, and that less than 1% knows that they have to put that work in.
Shoot from the half court line as soon as you walk in.
I think, and this was the point that you know, Brian Scalabrine was on like the Dan Patrick show, and he basically said the same thing.
Oh, my fucking dude, right there!
I was so happy that he said it too. He was basically like. He was basically like,
I saw him Monday. He told me the funniest story, man.
Save it. He was basically like anything that gets a kid to go play basketball is a good thing. Who cares? Who gives a shit what they're doing? Yeah, like
that's totally
if
true.
If they're working on their ball handling, if they're working on their like deep shooting, like who cares? Just anything that gets a kid to play basketball, enjoy basketball, and love the game of basketball. Just let them do it. Yeah. The good players will eventually, like, you know, the cream rises to the top or whatever.
It's just more people playing basketball. And some of those kids that never gave a shit about basketball that now care about basketball, they're going to teach their kids basketball. And that kid's going to be like Michael Jordan times Stephen Curry.
If some kid is a devastating mid-range shooter, he's not going to run out to 50 feet and be launching threes in a college game like without coaching. I don't know. I just don't see where...
Was Kobe's style of play ever like good for the game of basketball as far as what you're going to teach little kids? Like he just dribbled into triple teams and took fadeaway mid-range jumpers.
But I mean, everyone knew that Kobe worked his ass off to be able to make that triple team shot.
Yeah, but still.
And that's good for the game.
Well, then everybody knows that Steph Curry worked his ass off to be able to hit, you know, 40-foot threes.
Yeah.
Anyway, hit us with that hypothetical, man. Need that.
Oh, hypothetical hour? Yeah. All right, so I saw this on Twitter today. I'm not going to
original?
Like, it's not an original. It's not original. But nothing really is, let's be honest.
Facts. My whole life is a lie.
All of our hypotheticals right now have been hypotheticalized by someone else.
We live on Twitter, like the Sixers.
Now, I'll shout this dude out. It was at Dances tweeted this, and it was about pro athletes in general, but we can narrow it to the NBA or not. And it was, is there a pro athlete that you think you would win a fist fight with right now?
Oh, shit.
And who?
I'm going to say absolutely not because,
But like who? Okay, yeah, obviously, sure. But you're walking into the ring and you get to choose an NBA player to go against you and you have to choose one.
I mean, just because we already said his name.
I'd fight Stauskas.
Yeah, that's exactly who I was thinking.
See, I was actually thinking TJ McConnell, which means that the Sixers are like a very fightable team.
I think McConnell could throw some hands, man.
Well, he has Jahlil Okafor in his corner, theoretically.
True.
But yeah, no, it's one-on-one. Stauskas,
definitely.
Shout out to Nick Stauskas. He's a good dude,
definitely,
man.
Like in the top five of that.
And it's no, for sure.
I mean, I don't know. I'm trying to think of who else.
It had to definitely be someone... Well, shorter than me isn't that tough.
Like, do you pick the scrawniest, or do you pick like someone you think has never been in a fight?
The thing about fighting an NBA player is their arms are so long that it'd be almost impossible to get inside.
Well, you got
to
rush.
Like I was gonna say,
dude, I'm so out of shape. Like if it's not over in 20 seconds,
go for the knockout. Yeah,
I'm throwing straight haymakers. If it's not over, I'm just bracing for the knockout on my end.
Well, to a degree, the question is basically. Who would you most be okay with getting knocked out by?
I mean, first of all,
whose knockout do you think would be the most sensitive?
Yeah, I mean, you got to narrow it down to pretty much guards, first of all. Anyone over...
I know, like, one person I would definitely not step in the ring with is, like, Derek Favors or, like... Even like Isaiah Thomas, like those guys are just
Isaiah Thomas.
Also, he hangs out with Floyd Mayweather.
What about like Boris Diaw, who's like kind of slow? I mean, he's crafty.
I was thinking that too. I was gonna say like Seth Curry, maybe.
Dude, Diaw might just hit you with like a spinning heel kick out of nowhere though, because he is so like his athleticism is crazy, like on the low that like you're thinking, all right, cool, like all right, this guy's like kind of fat.
Maybe you got to pick like a real peaceful guy, like.
That's what
Kyle
I'm thinking
Singler,
too. Yeah.
Like,
someone Matt Soft.
Yeah, like who doesn't Bosch, they feel bad
like,
hurting
let's
you.
Just like
sing Kumbaya.
Yeah, and then you hit him and run.
Lou Amundsen? Right. Too big.
He's kind of feisty.
He chopped off his like, man bun like without giving a fuck.
He's definitely had some teeth knocked out in his life.
True.
He was talking shit with Tristan Thompson. He's had his bouts in the NBA.
What about somebody?
I kind of want to fight Dellavedova.
Oh, I was just about to bring him up, but I feel like he's so like, dirty, dude.
Yeah. Thrash me, but I just like I would.
he's kneeing you below the belt.
he's
kneeing you right.
Definitely a kidney shot for sure.
for sure.
So I don't know, man. That's a really good question. I'm like looking at. I mean, like James Harden.
Nah, I think James Harden would whip your ass.
Yeah, absolutely.
Would he?
Yeah. He's got the lefty craftiness.
Well, all right. Obviously, all these guys are going to whip my ass.
No, again, I know. As I said, it's kind of like who's going to be the gentlest in whipping your ass?
All right. Who would you not want to fight? What about Gordon Hayward, maybe I'd step in the ring with?
I would not want to fight. I feel like Kawhi Leonard's got to be top of that fighting list.
I was looking at...
And Boogie, for that
like
matter.
Like Kyle Lowry, I feel like would be mad scrappy. I would not want to fight him.
I don't want... Yeah, but I don't want it with any of those guys like... Kawhi and DeRozan, like any of the Compton guys, no way.
Aflalo?
Yeah, none of that.
Aflalo's actually the nicest dude.
Yeah, but you know he's got that old school.
Yeah, hell yeah.
He got that like old man strength.
He was on the other side of the gym during the Porzingis shoot, and he was blasting Kendrick Lamar.
So sick.
Which was, you know...
Just, any other good stories right. from that shoot besides that?
Not that I can say in this manner, but... Yeah, I mean, he's just what I took out of that was that Porzingis is just a good kid, just a 19-year-old.
JJ Redick. I know. I'm just looking at all the white guys I have on this list in front of me.
Yeah, no, I don't think that's a great way to do it at all. I think personality is more the factor here. Like, who's gonna knock you out, but gonna do it the softest?
Wiggins, maybe.
Who's gonna leave your teeth intact?
Giannis.
Giannis would honestly. He would probably beat the. Remember what he did to Dunleavy in the playoffs last year?
True.
Yeah. So no.
Yo, speaking of, this happened since our last
Dunleavy.
Podcast,
I would not want to fight. By the way, Dunleavy would.
I'd fight him now with his back all screwed up.
Yeah, that's a good point.
This is
who are the injured players?
Crutch.
Take their crotch and throw it out of the ring.
I was just gonna make a random comment about Greek Freak because I got to see I was out in the Bay and got to go to Oracle Arena for the first time.
Look at you out in the Bay.
Saw Bucks Warriors, the rematch. Yo, I really think that the Greek Freak like still has no idea how to play basketball, and once he figures out how to actually play basketball, he's gonna be completely unstoppable, at least offensively. Like his instincts are so good. Like he got switched off onto smaller guys and like demanded the ball in the post, and then he would catch it in the post, and like then he got real confused about like how to get it up to the hoop. Yeah. But like, God, he's huge and like
he's so ill.
He gets to the rim in like two steps.
Yeah,
like he has no idea what he's doing on a basketball.
He's just so ill when he gets a defensive rebound, just takes off.
Yeah.
Like
this is so amazing in open space.
It's just all instinct, then he'll just make a pass, like a no-look pass on the break that I don't even know if he knew he could do. Like, he's just still discovering so much about himself.
Yeah.
And I was actually talking with Frankie because you know how we love to do player comparisons and, like, who's who. Mm-hmm. I think Ben Simmons reminds me, you know, of a little bit or a lot of bit of Giannis, just, like, still kind of raw. You know, neither of them can shoot, but like both athletic freaks, you know, both get it and go when they get the ball, can run the break and play, you know, four or five different positions.
Yeah. Like big, like guys that are playing forward, but should probably be guards based on their skill set.
So, I mean, Simmons probably more polished. Giannis probably more of an athletic freak, but I think, I don't know, maybe I'm crazy to think that they're comparable, but I think they have a similar skill set. I don't know. That was just
shout out to Simmons and LSU for beating Kentucky.
Waxing Kentucky.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel bad for Scal, man. Labissery. Is that how you say his last name?
Why do you feel bad for him?
Because he's not good right now. Oh. And he was like supposed to be the number one overall pick.
He's still going
to
be a lottery pick. Probably even top five. Just off potential alone.
Yeah, we'll see. You guys got anybody to shout out?
Is it the shout out hour?
Yeah, I'm getting pretty tired, man. I can't lie. Yeah,
we got to give a shout out to Oklahoma and Kansas for that epic game as well.
Buddy held.
Buddy.
I don't know.
Shout out to Isaiah Cousins for getting shot like two summers ago and coming back and just being a don for Oklahoma.
Shout out to Clay Anthony early.
Yo, word. I was going to get into that earlier, but I don't even know if I want to touch it other than to say, I hope you get better soon, bruh.
Yeah. Be careful. Like, if you're a Knick, you're a target.
It's
if
like
you're
open
young,
season on the Knicks right now.
But yeah, but it's just, you know, you're a young millionaire. You got to be careful. Yeah. I'm the last person to be able to preach. If I was a young millionaire, I'd be wiling out. So, but we've learned, yeah, I mean, shit's rough.
Yeah, not a good look for the young Knicks right now. Abe, anybody else you want to shout out?
Nah, just as usual, shout out to everyone that got this far in the podcast, everyone that continues to listen every week. You know, let us know what you think. Tweet us. What do you want us to talk about next week, etc. Thank you. We appreciate you for listening.
Just want to shout out Will Barton, too. Just on the strength of being Will Barton.
Today.
Oh? Well, yesterday.
True.
If you want to get technical. All right, man. Well, I guess that'll do it, Figs. Thank you for coming through.
Of course.
Congrats again on the Porzingis story.
Thanks, bro.
Abe, thanks, man. Yep, hope you feel better soon.
I have to go home and just chug so much cough syrup.
Thanks for sharing.
That'll do
see
it, man.
You guys in 2 weeks when I wake up.
Follow Slam Online, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, Snapchat.
Don't follow any of us.
Don't follow any of us. Porzingis.
Except Pete. Follow Pete.
Porzingis Boogie split covers on newsstands now. Please pick that up if you haven't done so already. Actually, get a subscription, man. It's like $8. Like,
that's true. Yeah.
So, you know, help.
That's
help.
That's like one lunch.
Help your boys out, man.
Don't eat one day.
Help my dog. My dog is starving at home, man. Just help us out. All right, man.
Dog. It's your actual dog. Yeah.
All right. We'll be back in 2 weeks, man. Peace.
Later.